From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The situation in Japan at a nuclear power plant damaged by last week's earthquake and tsunami has taken yet another turn for the worse. That's according to a top U.S. nuclear official who told lawmakers on Capitol Hill today that one of the pools containing radioactive spent fuel rods at the plant appears to have run dry. U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chairman Gregory Yatsko says such a development would mean that radiation levels are extremely high. For the past 2 days, workers at the plant have been trying to bring the situation there under control. Today, the U.S. government said it's now advising all Americans in Japan to stay at least 50 miles away from the stricken plant. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu says the U.S. will study the lessons of Japan's nuclear crisis, but as NPR Scott Horsley reports, the secretary told lawmakers nuclear power will continue to be an important part of the country's energy mix.
Members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee grilled the secretary about the safety of America's nuclear plants and whether a Fukushima-style crisis could happen here. Chu says safety remains a top priority, but the Obama administration is not dropping its efforts to encourage additional nuclear plants.
It'd be premature to say anything other than we will use this opportunity to learn as best we can and consider carefully how to go forward.
Chu says without nuclear power, it would be hard to meet the president's long-term goal of generating 80% of the country's power without greenhouse gases. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
In Libya today, anti-government fighters came under renewed military pressure from Muammar Gaddafi's advancing forces. As NPR's Eric Westervelt reports, the fighting has prompted more Libyans to flee toward the border and safety in Egypt.
Anti-Gaddafi rebels appear to have lost control of access points in Ajdabiya, the last city before the rebel headquarters of Benghazi. At the Saloum border crossing, Donnell Riley with Catholic Relief Services says the number of people fleeing into Egypt is growing.
There's been a steady increase of Libyans moving through, and we're noticing a lot of Libyan families moving in, or cars packed with possessions moving in. They're worried that Benghazi may actually get cut off.
Meantime, the New York Times says four of its journalists disappeared Tuesday while reporting on the fighting in Ajdabiya. The paper said in a statement it's anxiously seeking information about their situation. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Saloum on the Egypt-Libya border.
For the nation's home builders, things not so busy last month, it seems. The Commerce Department says new home construction plunged by nearly 23%. Patrick Newport is an economist with IHS Global Insight. He says along with a glut of unsold homes on the market, builders are also having a tough time getting financing.
Builders are saying that they just could not get credit. If builders can't get credit to build homes, then we're not going to see a pop in housing starts for quite a while.
Permits for future construction, considered a key barometer of the industry, also fell. Stocks took another big dive today, erasing much of the gains for the year so far amid concerns over Japan. The Dow was down 242 points. This is NPR. The agency in charge of security at the nation's airports is defending its current privacy policy in terms of full-body scanners installed at many airports. Testifying before a House committee today, two officials with the Transportation Security Administration also said the machines are safe and emit only low levels of radiation. The official said that imaging software in the machines prevents images from being retained, stored, or transmitted. Some lawmakers have expressed concerns about the devices, which snap a fairly revealing picture of an individual beneath their clothing in an effort to make sure weapons or explosives do not make it aboard jetliners. A former Chicago police commander convicted of lying about the torture of homicide victims is on his way to federal prison. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports there were longstanding allegations John Burge used or permitted beatings, electric shock, and death threats during investigations.
John Burge was the commander of the so-called Midnight Crew of a Chicago police district in the 1970s and 80s. He lost his job in 1993 after the city found he did torture an accused police killer into giving a confession. Burge never faced criminal charges, though, until 2008, when federal authorities charged him with obstruction of justice and perjury. He was convicted of providing false answers to questions asked in a civil lawsuit. He's now heading off to serve a 4.5-year prison term. Attorney Flint Taylor represents former prisoners held under Burge and says much still needs to be done.
There are men still behind bars based on tortured confessions. There are men who are uncompensated, who have been tortured.
And Taylor says those men who are still in prison hope to get new trials. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Crude oil futures prices rose 80 cents a barrel today to close at $97.98 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.